Last night, I was praying with Heather, and she prayed the most annoying prayer. It's very irritating. Well, amen. You can be dismissed. I'm not sure. I told her it was, I said, why did you pray that? I think in part I had a suspicion that she prayed the right thing. Don't you hate that when someone prays something? Stop bugging me. That's the worst. That's the worst when someone prays something and it irritates you and you knew it was God. Because then you can't be mad at them. You want to be, but you can't be mad at them. Now you're all curious and wondering what it was she prayed. Do you say maybe not? Okay, then I'm not going to tell you. Who wants me to tell you? Well, a lot of you didn't raise your hands, so the majority has. I'm not going to tell you. She prayed that this morning I would share with you whatever God puts on my heart in the morning. And you guys know me. I hate that. I like hearing from God, don't get me wrong, but I hate not being very well prepared. Anybody like me? Am I alone in this? Is there anybody else in this house that's like me? Yeah, I like to be very well prepared. In fact, I was hoping that Joe would take a little longer in the song he was singing at the offertory because I still was on the fence if the Lord wanted me to share what I had prepared or share something else, and he's teaching me to wait. And no, I don't need you to go up and play, Johnny. I'm already in now. I'm already in. It's already started. And I was sitting over there. And in fact, Joe, you got to a part where I thought you were done. And I was thinking, oh, please don't let him be done yet. And then you sang a little bit more. I was thrilled. But then you stopped about 10 seconds after that. And honestly, there's things that I'm going through my head that I'm not even sure if that's it that he wants to say. Love when you can hear a pin drop. As I was saying a moment ago, we are lukewarm. I don't want to be in that place. Because in Revelation, Jesus says that to the church that was lukewarm, I am about to spew you out of my mouth. I don't want any part of you. To consider that that is even remotely possible, that that is how he feels about me or you, think about that for a moment. That he might feel about you the way he felt about that church, I am about to spew you out of my mouth. Lukewarm. Don't mistake excitement as an indication that you're not lukewarm. Don't mistake that you read your Bible regularly as an indication that you're not lukewarm. There's a space that I don't like to sit in, and I know that some of you willingly raised your hand, but I think that more of you probably should have. There's a space that I don't like to sit in. And that space is the I don't know space. I don't know what's next. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know. I was talking with a couple a week or so ago and talking with one of them about their struggle of being in that space. And some of this is, and I don't want to take words from somebody else, but some of this, and Steve knows, he was there. We were at a minister's conference earlier part of this week, and some of this is coming from that. Where, have you ever had the Holy Spirit say, I want you to go over there? And your first question is, and then do what? I'll go over there. Wouldn't you tell me what to do when I'm over there? Have you ever been there before? And the Holy Spirit says, just go over there. Okay, but we've got to figure this out first because I don't want to just look like an idiot. Or I don't want to waste my time. So what am I going to do when I'm over there? Don't worry about what you're going to do over there. Just go over there. We don't like that. What if I go stand over there and nothing happens? What does that happen to you, Joey? Yeah. Felt like the Lord said to go over here and there's nothing. Nobody showed up. Didn't receive some great revelation from God. Nothing was shown to me. Nothing. Does that matter?
Yeah. You were obedient if you did it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you. You scared me for a second when you said yes. I wasn't sure what you were going to say after that. Because I don't like when I don't know what to expect. And she's right. Doesn't matter what happens after that. What matters is, did the Holy Spirit say go? Some of you are struggling. You can't hear from God. Who is that? You can't hear from God. I can't read this to you. Come on. Who has a hard time hearing from God? Come on. I see a nod. The hand needs to go up. Come on, Joe. No, no, don't put them down yet. Who has a hard time hearing from God? Sometimes they get that hand up then, Alma. Hard time hearing from God. Put your hands down. Everybody who didn't put your hand up, you're wrong. Do you want to know why? And this is why you need to come on Wednesday nights. Because many times we think we know what the Spirit's saying and it's just an impulse in us. Well, I feel this strong impression, so it must be the Holy Spirit that's saying that, and so I'm going to say this, or it fits with what I've known and experienced, so I'm going to do that. Do you know that that was the Holy Spirit that gave you that impulse? Do you know? How do you know that the Holy Spirit spoke to you? How do you know that? Are you able to hear from God? And if I can't hear from God, then how do I know how to walk? How do I know what I'm supposed to do? How do I receive all the things that God has given to me? And Paul says, he who thinks he is strong, take heed lest he fall. Don't ever think that you actually got a handle on this thing. I don't have a handle on this. I don't have a clue what I'm going to say after this statement. I don't have the slightest idea. And don't think that this is going to happen next Sunday, because I'm going to talk to God about this and make sure he understands that this is not the way it's supposed to work on a Sunday morning. And I have a feeling that's not going to go well if I try that. Have you ever tried to put God in his place? Yes.
Yeah.
And here's the scary part is that there are a lot of crazy people out there that think that God spoke to them, and they're saying the weirdest, unbiblical, crazy things. And Jesus said, I only say what my Father shows me to say, and I only do what my Father shows me to do. So I want to make sure that when I open this thing, it's not idiotic. Or not just trying to be weird for weird's sake. Or not trying to make something happen. Sometimes I feel the brunt and the weight of the responsibility that if you guys aren't excited, I feel like I have to be like a cheerleader and get you excited. What's the use of that? If I get you excited for 15 minutes and then you leave, who cares if I got you excited? Is the Holy Spirit actually working in you? If you had to be called upon to give a testimony to the things that God is doing in your life, would you have to revert to your conversion story? Would you have to revert to the things that God began to do in you 3 years ago? What is God saying to you now? If you, and I, this is where I'm cautious because this is very tricky, and even the Apostle Paul had a difficult time walking through this idea. And we've walked through this idea of works versus grace. And so I don't want to give the wrong impression, and I don't want to be the old-time Pentecostal preachers that made you feel like you weren't saved because you didn't wear a dress this morning. Or because you didn't feel goosebumps when you prayed. But if you don't go to church about 80-90% of the time, you're lukewarm. I don't necessarily mean here. If you go to some other church, that's fine. The kingdom's larger than Bethel, but if you don't go to church more than 80-90% of the time, you're lukewarm. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Do you understand that I went to a church for years that had a guy preaching that was not exciting at all? It was difficult to listen to. But you know why I went? Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why do I need a reason to do what God tells me to do? If you want something, you'll move everything out of the way to get it. If you want to be involved in something, if you want to do something, if you want to go to something, and there's something in the way of it, you will move everything out of the way to get to it. You will. You watch yourself. The things that you have a passion for, you will move everything out of the way to get to it. Bethel will not grow in number nor in spiritual maturity. I feel like God wants to take us deeper. And that doesn't mean hype. That doesn't mean numbers. That doesn't mean a thriving budget. As necessary as those things might be, God wants to take us deeper. David wanted to build an altar to the Lord. And he found a plot of land that it was owned by another person, and he asked him if I could buy that to build an altar to the Lord. And the man, being generous as he was and faithful to the Lord and just wanted to honor the Lord as well, said, no, I'll give you the land for that. To build an altar to the Lord, I'll give that to you. You know what David said? I cannot give to God that which did not involve sacrifice. There are a few men who overheard David when he was in the military, overheard him saying, I'm thirsty for water. And so those men, as zealous for him as they were, they took off and went into the enemy's camp and fought their way in to get water, because that was the only place it could be found, and brought it to him. You know what he did when David got it? Poured it out. I cannot take this. I did not do a thing to get that. And some of you are walking in cheap grace. And you are taking advantage of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus, that you give me some encouraging thoughts from time to time. And yet you don't do a thing to sacrifice to serve him. Jesus says, take up your cross daily and follow him. If it's hard to share your faith with other people, it doesn't mean you're not called to do so. And if we only do the things that are easy, what are we going to do? Are you only willing to do the easy things for your children? Have any of you worked hard to parent? Did you work hard to parent your children? Are you still working hard to parent your children? Are you going through emotionally exhausting things to try to get your children to where you think they should be? Why? Because you care about your children and where they end up. Do you care about your relationship with Jesus Christ? What sacrifice do you have that demonstrates that? It does not mean that work saves you, but what things are you doing that are demonstrating a sacrificial willingness to surrender to whatever Jesus Christ wants to do? What do I have to offer him? If all I have to offer him is, I'm glad I'm saved, maybe I'll put Caleb on my radio and sing some songs that make me feel encouraged, but Jesus isn't just a therapist. I think some of us think that Jesus is just a therapist. He's just sitting in the car next to me and just is going to make me feel good whenever I don't feel good. He isn't just a therapist. He is the wonderful counselor, and he does do those things. But don't trample underfoot the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And you are not a backslider if you're Tommy walking to the end of the room. It's just his back that's bothering him. Why doesn't anybody get healed when I pray that they get healed? It's true. But Jesus said, call for the elders of the church to have them lay their hands on you and pray for you, and you will be healed. Maybe. Maybe. And there's a lot of different things to that, but are you actually on fire for Jesus? Are you actually on fire for Jesus? Do you want the things of God? If you do, then what are you doing that shows that you want the things of God? If you're not involved in some form of ministry, maybe in part that could be my fault. If you're saying, hey, I want to be involved in something and I'm not giving you anything, then that could be my fault. You might think, well, when things settle down, when I'm not as busy, I'll get to those things when I retire. How many of you in this room are retired? Okay, does it get less busy? If you're waiting for things to not be as busy, you might as well say that you're not going to serve the Lord. The Lord's been telling you something that he's going to be telling you also. Busyness is killing your passion for God, and busyness is crowding out the ability of the Holy Spirit to speak into your life. And the ability for the Holy Spirit to have a freedom to take you places that you've not gone. There are family commitments, there are sports commitments, there are school commitments, there's job commitments that are standing in the way of you being able to give yourself over to what the Holy Spirit. There's no wonder that we can't hear him. We don't leave space for him. I was praying yesterday and just asking, I've been more just sitting and asking him to speak to me. And there was one of those moments where I'm sitting and I'm asking God to speak to me. There's nothing. And it was weird because the person who was speaking this week said that she had this experience where she was asking the Lord to speak and got nothing. But then the Lord convicted her and showed her something that she wouldn't have seen the next day if it wasn't for that. And then I literally had the same experience, was sitting and hearing nothing. And I wanted to say, why am I doing this? Why am I sitting here in silence? Nothing's happening. Do you think that you spend years not listening to God and then all of a sudden you decide to set aside 30 minutes that you're going to listen to him, that he needs to just rush in and say something now? You think about the arrogance of that. You just show up and you tell me something now because I'm giving you 30 minutes of my time. I'm giving you 30 minutes of my time. We are chasing after things that don't mean anything. Oh, but I get it. I understand. I chase after a lot of things that I think are very important, and they are. But do I have the ability to chuck it all when the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go and stand over there? Okay, well then tell me why I'm going over there. No, I want you to go stand over there. We need a gut-wrenching, Holy Spirit-filled, eyes-wide-open revival in our hearts. That is not us. I've watched people and I've watched some of you move in the flesh and blame it on the Spirit. Again, just because you had tingly feelings doesn't mean the Holy Spirit spoke that. Just because it all worked out doesn't mean the Holy Spirit spoke that. Just because someone got upset doesn't mean you need to belittle them and push them down and say, oh, it's okay, just get over it. The Lord told me to do that. You need to know if you're... We need to be more careful. If Jesus, the Son of God, had to say, I only do what my Father tells me to do, and I only say what my Father tells me to say, and Jesus spent hours constantly withdrawing from the crowds to seek him. God in the flesh had to do that. Do not we need to do that more? And so we need to pull away from the busyness and the craziness of life and listen, because right now the Holy Spirit's speaking to everybody around us, and he might not even be saying the same thing, but he's having a conversation with each one of you, and every person that is around you all the time he's having a conversation with. They might not even know it. And if I can listen, I might begin to hear it. You know, I'm going to go on a limb here. This is weird for me. I was in here praying. And did you know sometimes I spend time praying here during office hours and I feel guilty sometimes? Because I think, well, they're paying me to work as a pastor. I need to do things. But the apostles said that we need to set aside some people to take care of the things so that we can focus on the Word of God and prayer. But I don't know why. Doesn't that feel weird? Okay. Have you ever thought things like that and you thought later you say it out loud? Have you ever thought something and then said it out loud and you thought, That's weird. Why was I like that? But anyway, I was praying, and I felt the Lord tell me to walk outside these doors. And I did what I just told you I would do. Why am I walking outside? I can pray in here. I looked outside to get myself ready, I guess. I didn't see anybody. I was thinking, well, maybe there's someone walking by that I'm supposed to say something to. So waiting. And you know what the Lord's been doing to me over the past few days? He speaks to me and says to me, go, and I wait for a second. And he keeps saying, I said, go. Why are you waiting? So I walked out the door and stood there and thought, now what? There was nothing for a minute. Just standing there, hoping that nobody walked by. Okay, just wait until God says something, I guess. I don't know. Maybe he's just playing a trick on me. Do you ever feel like maybe God's just a prankster? He's playing jokes on me. I don't know. Then he said, I want you to go towards the house. Okay, go towards the house. Go left. Walk towards the back. So walk towards the back. And I sit on the picnic table, and I'm like, do you want me just to enjoy nature? Like, what am I doing? Okay. And I looked over and noticed that there was something wrong with the storm door. And pushed on it, thought, okay. So I walk inside and look, and there's parts of the storm door that were broken. And he said, I just wanted you to see that. Small. I wonder how many things God is waiting for you, great things to happen, if you just, when he says, I just want you to walk outside, and you just do it. No questions asked. No trying to figure it out and analyze all the details. And the district superintendent, it was funny, we were all up towards the altar, and I don't remember what even the altar call was for. And my mind was tempted to start trying to take what was being done and spoken and created into a nice little package that was neatly organized. And you know what he said? He said, I know some of you, and I know what you're doing right now. You're trying to, your wheels are turning on trying to figure out how to organize this whole thing. Have you ever had moments like that where every turn, God, you decided to open your heart, and now all of a sudden, every turn, God just keeps dropping things. Like it's been there all along, and you've just not heard it. Oh, what would happen if Bethel was free in the Spirit? Oh, what would happen if you stop hiding from your problems? I can hear from God. I've been used to prophesy. I've been used in a number of ways hearing from God. And don't think that it is an easy thing for the pastor to stand up in front of you and say, and sometimes I don't listen. Not that I don't obey, but sometimes I'm just not listening. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes I'm just not listening. I'm like Martha in the story of Mary and Martha. I'm doing a lot of stuff, but I'm not listening. Could you even hear him if you tried? Because sometimes we have it all figured out. There are a few people in this room. I'm not going to name you. I'll just come talk to you afterwards. So whoever you see me talking to after the service, you will know that. But there are some of you in this room that you think you have it all figured out. Yes, it is. It is you. I'm just kidding. We all have our different flaws, but some of you, you think it, you have it all figured out. And because of that, you are not hearing the voice of the Spirit. And some of you are on the opposite end of the spectrum. You think you have nothing to offer. And that's why you can't hear from God. Some of you here have a vice, you have a sin that you can't get rid of, and this is the reason. Do not surrender to God. Do not. And you, You try to package it. Well, I repented and gave my life to Jesus, and I read my Bible, and I go to church about once or twice a year, and why is it that at 9:15 on Sunday morning, there's only three of us that are coming together to pray that God will pour out His Spirit in this service? Why is it that at 9:15 on Sunday morning, there's only three of us gathering together to pray that God pours out His Spirit in this service? Do you want the Holy Spirit to be poured out? Do you? Well, but Sunday morning's the only day I get to sleep in. I've heard that before. I work 6 days a week. Sunday morning's my only morning to sleep in. How dare I offer to God a sacrifice that I did nothing for? Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? This morning, I'm not going to dismiss you officially, because I want to hold you captive throughout the rest of the day. I have a love-hate relationship with this. I hate this. I'm a good preacher. There's nothing, just an FYI for those of you who are on the end of the spectrum that you feel like you have nothing to offer, there is nothing wrong with recognizing the gifts that God has given you. Some people think it's arrogant to say that I'm a good preacher. It's not arrogance unless you think that you're a better preacher. I'm a good preacher. But I hate not having it polished. Throughout the week, I get that thing neatly packaged, and I polish it up, and I cut some things out, and I try to think that'll make Alma laugh at least, and that'll make Sydney cry. I know that'll work. Don't misunderstand me. I'm asking God to speak to me. When I sit down to prepare my message on Tuesday morning, I'm asking Him to speak to me and guide me, and He does, and He has. Sometimes God wants me to just sit right in this window where I don't know what's next. I don't know what's next. And you're afraid to sit there. Some of you, when you sit there, you do kind of like I do. And I think I was going there. I didn't say this. Yesterday morning, I sat down, spent some time praying. And when I say praying, I don't mean like, God, will you do this? God, will you do that? God, would you do this? Take care of this and take care of that. I think sometimes we feel like we're God's drill sergeant. Okay, you go over here and you do that. And you move this, send the angels over there, and you take care of that. And okay, then you need to do this, then send back up over there. And did I ever actually engage God in that conversation? So just sitting there listening, and all of a sudden my mind goes to, it's a Saturday, and filling my day up with, all right, these are the things that could be done this day, and let's start filling that up. And then I stopped and I thought, okay, I'm not hearing anything from you, God. He said, I know, because you're trying to fill up the day. Okay, but there's things that need to get done. How do I make sure that the things get done? You know what He's been telling me? Stop worrying about making sure all the stuff gets done and just do what I tell you to do. You know what I've found? So again, we were at this retreat Monday through Wednesday. I only had 2 days this week in the office to do all the things that are so important to do. And I've been focusing intently on just doing what He says to do, even when it's out of place, even when it doesn't fit the schedule and the routine, even when it doesn't make sense, even though I can't figure out how to analyze why it's supposed to be done that way and what is supposed to be done there. Twice I walked over to New Hope Church, once on Thursday and once on Friday, because I felt like I was supposed to meet the pastor. Walked over there the first day and no one was there. Left my card in the door because there was nowhere else to put it. I didn't want to break the law and put it in the mailbox after I just told you guys to respect your authorities last week. So I slid it in the door somewhere, walked back. What was that about? Then Friday he told me to walk back over there again. So what, leave another card? So I walked back over there, and some ladies came to the door and answered and asked for the pastor. Well, he's not here, but we saw your card. It almost got lost because it fell in the doorway, but I made sure that he got it. You know what's interesting? I'm still trying to figure out why I walked over there. And walked, no less. I didn't drive. In fact, I wanted to get in my car the second time because I thought all I did was put a car in the door or a card in the door. Can I just drive this time? No, walk. Okay, I'll walk. For no reason, I guess. I hope you don't mistake me for being irreverent to God. I want to demonstrate this for you because I know that some of you are having these conversations with God. Well, why am I doing this? And you want to know something that's interesting that happened Thursday and Friday? He gave me ample time to do just about the amount of stuff I usually do in the week. Somehow he moved it around that it got done faster. And you might think, well, what is he doing all that time if he could fit all that in 2 days? Because the Holy Spirit is faster and smarter and more wise and more powerful, and he has it figured out, and we just keep getting in the way. Stop missing church to go out of town for something. Don't misunderstand me. You could take a vacation. I'm not saying you have to cancel your vacation. You could take a vacation. But stop missing church for any little thing. Stop doing that. Stop not praying while spending so much time making sure you watch your favorite TV show, or you get to watch Fox News at the end of the night, or you get to read a book, or you get to... You have your time, Phil. You have time. Did you know that? You have time. You just spend it on other things. Stop doing it. Stop it. Get into the Word. Pray and seek His face and listen. Don't just fill out. Some of you are afraid of silence. If I just told you, let's just stand here for 10 minutes in silence, you would go crazy. Some of you. Don't keep doing it. The Holy Spirit is calling us to a deeper place. Why'd you stop praying? Playing. Just noticed it was really quiet in here. It made me nervous because we're supposed to have a lot of sound. Thank you. I'm not even sure what song I want you to play. Don't play the song you were about to play. Okay. Don't stop playing. I want you to play what the Holy Spirit is telling you to play right now. No pressure. And this is what I want you guys to do throughout this week, and let's begin a new journey. Stop going before the Holy Spirit tells you to do something. Stop speaking when you feel like, oh, someone needs to tell this person this because it matters and they need to know this and it's something really spiritual. Stop speaking before the Holy Spirit tells you to say it. Start to learn what the Holy Spirit is saying to you at all times. Jump in the river. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Take His yoke upon you because it is easy and light. I can't tell you how much weight of things I've taken and tried to carry on my shoulders, and some of you are doing the same thing. Break free from that. Break free. I'm thoroughly excited to see what Joe's going to lead us in a moment here. Is it okay if we get clunky from time to time? Is that okay? I mean, I like things to be polished, like I said, and seamless and those sort of things, but it's okay to be clunky sometimes. Here's what we're going to do. He's going to lead us in a song that only the Holy Spirit's showing him to sing. And then you do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Don't move until He speaks to you. So if He tells you to come and kneel at the altar, then do that. If He tells you to stand and worship, He tells you to sit. If He tells you to leave, then do that. If He tells you to start talking loud and being disruptive, don't do that. It's not the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Spirit and not you, okay? But let's just let him have his way. Lord, we need you, Lord. Lord, I don't want dryness. I don't want a dry, stale relationship with you. I want the rain of the Holy Spirit to come showering down like a torrential storm. Lord, I don't want a lack of power. I don't want to be incapable. I want the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through every bit of what we're doing, Lord. Lord, I don't want me. I don't want my ideas. I don't want my flesh, as much as it might look like the Holy Spirit. I don't want that. I want you, Lord, in your movement. So, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us and guide us to whatever way that our heart needs to respond to this, that you would guide us. And I pray that more people would begin to pray for one another, very annoying and irritating prayers like Heather did for me last night. Because we need delivered. And may you right now reveal that to them through their darkness, through their stubbornness, through their stuck in their ways, through their this is the way I see things, through their thinking that they know. Speak through all of that and show them your will and your ways and open their eyes in Jesus' name. For the sake of the workers that are working with the children, if you have children, I want to encourage you to go and get them. If you still need to spend some time with the Lord, you can, if you can contain them and bring them in here, that's fine. Or if you want to take them home and you can continue in the Lord at home. But again, no judgment. The Holy Spirit releases you, you can go. You don't need to wait for a formal dismissal or anything. Just go as the Lord dismisses you. But feel free to stay as long as you want. So if the Holy Spirit's still working on you, that's still doing something, then stay. You know, don't worry about feeling weird. Why is that person still sitting in that pew? We're done. You're okay. Just walk with what the Holy Spirit's doing.
Pastor, I didn't come up to the altar, but I was just sitting quietly. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said that we're always looking for the mountaintop experience. And when Moses went to the mountaintop with the two disciples, and they were all excited, and they wanted to build a house up there, a tent.
When Jesus went,
mm-hmm. You know? And Jesus said, no, can't do that. You have to go back down into the valley. He wants us in the valley. Mountaintop experiences are very rare in our lives. Mm-hmm. They do happen, but they're very rare. But he wants us in the valley because that's where the battle has to be fought. And we need to, as a church, come together more closely, become more closely knit, because you can't fight the battle on your own. You need other soldiers to fight the battle with you. So as a church, we just need to come together, even if it's just a few of us at a time, and pray together and fight the battle.
So Sunday's 9:15. Come walk with us in the valley. Amen. Thank you, Kathy. So as the Lord leads you, you can leave, but if you want to linger, continue to linger.